Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Good morning, Christ Today listeners. Welcome to Christ Today Show again for another week. Every week we love to come forward and bring encouraging, uplifting, great information. Not good news, but great news. I love hearing good news, but I think it's better to hear great news. And the great news is the gospel. The great news is the message of Jesus. The great news is the message of his coming again. The great news is the message of what he's doing in hearts and lives. Not only what he's doing, but what he's going to do and what he has done. Today we have a pastor of the gospel visiting us in the studio today from up in Paradise at the Paradise Community Church, and his name is Pastor Lloyd Tremaine. Good morning, Pastor Lloyd.
Good morning, Curtis. Glad to be on the air with you today.
I'm glad you're here. So why don't you start a little bit about telling us about how you got saved and how you got called into ministry?
Well, there's a whole lot to say because life goes on and there's a lot of things that happen in life as we're walking through it, isn't
Amen.
It? You know what? As I was growing up, I was fortunate enough to be able to grow up in a Christian home. I had a mother and father that loved God. They presented God everywhere they went. I love the fact that my dad sang in a quartet. It was called the Kinsman Quartet. And they traveled all around the Northwest, even down into California, too. I was born and raised in Seattle. And so now that I'm down here in California in Paradise, I left one paradise and came to another. Seattle is a beautiful place.
And headed to another paradise.
And I'm headed to a third paradise. I'm ready to be there, too, whenever he's ready for that. But the amazing part is when I grew up in Seattle, I had opportunities upon opportunities to be able to excel in many different things. I was a musician. My mom trained me from the time I was little to be able to sing and to be able to play instruments. Of course, you practice hours a day, and you come away with different experiences and expertise in that as you practice and work hard at it. I also was an avid athlete. I loved athletics and sports. If you were to see me today, you would say the soccer ball that I played with and did so excellent all the way through college, I probably swallowed it. Because I look like maybe I did, but actually that's not what happened. I played soccer. I played all different kinds of sports all the way through college. As a matter of fact, I had scholarships through college, which helped me. And I was invited to play for the Canadian National Soccer Team when I was in Canada. But I said, no, I'm from America. I want to do something different. When I was there in college, though, it wasn't just about what I was going to be looking forward to as far as my athletics or my music. I was asking God to find a way to maybe capture me in where I was and where he wanted me to go in life. Because I'd grown up in this Christian home, and I had a mindset that God absolutely wanted to be able to do something through me somewhere in my life, even if it was in music or sports, he would use me for that. And so every night I would pray a simple prayer, and most of the time it went something like this. Oh, God, what in the world do you want from me in my life? It was a pretty straightforward kind of a thing. And this one night, I was laying in bed, and I had just gotten done with these what are called crunches, sit-ups for some of you guys to be able to understand. And we would do the speed crunches, and we would see how fast we could do 100 sit-ups. And so we would get on and we would time ourselves to see the speed of them. And I would see how many I could do in 1 minute. We'd just do speed drills with our sit-ups because I was very athletic. And and so...
How many did you do?
Well, I did over 60 for a minute.
That's good.
So I was really crunching good. Hard and fast. Yeah. And I had several people watching.
Could you do 60 today in a minute?
I could do 60 in my brain. 60 in brain. My brain could take me there. Uh-huh. No, but something gets in the middle. I think it's that soccer ball in the middle that gets in the way now, so I can't quite do as many.
Well, actually, you might be able to do more shorter distance.
Oh, that's true. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see how that works.
You can set a record.
You know, get it going.
Yeah, you hit 70.
Let's go on.
It was over that, but I did really, really good and was really fast. Anyway, in the middle of that night, as I was laying there and praying, it's about 1 o'clock or so in the morning, maybe two, and this scripture reference was going through my head, and I was going, I wonder what that is. I wonder if it's even in the Bible. And the reference was 2 Timothy 4:2. And of course, I just prayed recently in that evening, God, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. I got a lot of things I could do, but what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And he allowed me that scripture to roll through my head. So finally I got up. Mm-hmm. I was tired of just listening to that scripture reference without knowing where it was or what it was or if it was even in the Bible. So I got up and went into what we call the common room. And there was a couch in there. And I grabbed a Bible from my room and took it with me. Everyone else was asleep at that time, which is odd for a college dorm. But I popped in there, and I opened up the Bible, and I started flipping through to see if I could find 2 Timothy 4:2. And all of a sudden, I flipped the page over, and there it was. And the first three words felt to me as if they leapt off the page and slapped me upside my head. The first three words were, "Preach the word."
Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh.
Be constant in season and out of season. Ooh. Convince, exhort, rebuke with patience. And as I sat there looking at those words, those first three words were like glorious words. It was like obviously God was speaking, and there was this confirmation of the Spirit on me that was just so powerful. I was absolutely moved. And I said, God, is this really what you want? You've got to be crazy. I don't preach. I'm afraid sometimes to even stand up and do my music if I'm doing solos or something somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I got better and better at that. But I finally had that real strong confirmation in my heart that God was actually calling me to preach the word. And so I went in and I fell asleep. Just bam. I don't always do that, but I did that night. I fell asleep. Bam. I woke up the next morning and headed off to the counselor's office, because I had to tell him I'm changing my major. My major was ambivalent to me before this time. I went in and talked to the theology department professor, and I said, hey, I believe God's calling me to preach the word. And he looked at me, and he knew my record. He had seen what I was like in the classroom and out of the classroom, and he laughed at me, literally laughed. He was like, ha, 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 right,
yeah,
right, nice. Sure. What are you really in here for?
Yeah.
You just made an appointment with me, and you're saying this to me? Right, like I believe you.
Yeah.
And I said, no, you've got to understand. And I explained to him what God had just done. And in the middle of that explanation, his laughter turned to a somberness, and he said, when I got done telling him what happened, he said, you don't want to go there. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I believe this is God's call on my life. He goes, no, you don't understand. The pastoral ministry is full of people who fail. The pastoral ministry is full of people who can't take it under pressure. The pastoral ministry is full of people who have others around them that cut them down, take them down. They live in a glass house. You don't want to go there. And I said, but God called me.
Ooh. Yeah.
And by the time we got done with our conversation that day, and I was convinced it was God's work. Mm-hmm. And when I got done with the conversation, he said, okay, I tell you what, Go pray about it some more. I said, I've already prayed about it. No, go pray about it some more.
Yeah.
He said, you have to know for sure if this is where God's leading you.
Yeah.
From that day forward, my grades went from C's and D's up to A's.
Wow. When God calls, he does things differently and changes the whole thing like he did with you.
He did. He changed my whole perception of life. I went from a partier, a fool, a person who didn't care, a person who was just living on their own for their own ambitions and their own thoughts and their own desires, to a person who was sold out for Jesus Christ. And it was an odd transition, but it was one of the things that changed my life. And I went off at that point and began to study, and I ended up getting my Bachelor of Theology degree, and I went into a church. And right out of college, I went into a church as a youth pastor, as an associate pastor is what my title was. And while I was there, the pastor had a huge failure, crashed and burned. So the people there said, hey, we need you to take over. We need you to be the pastor here. Would you please step up and do that? And I'm like going, I'm really not trained for this. Well, yeah, I'm called, but oh, I have no idea. So the rest of that year, I ended up fulfilling that, and I realized, oh, I'm falling so far short of what I believe God wants me to do and be. You know what? I'd better do something about this. So I decided I need to go to seminary. I need to get trained in the Bible and God's Word. And so I went off to seminary, and I began to walk through this process of becoming a pastor. And I got a Bachelor of Theology degree. Yeah, but that really didn't mean much of anything because I read all the theologians.
Yeah.
I really didn't have a pastor's heart. So I went on and I got a Master of Divinity from Western Evangelical Seminary up in Portland. And I came out and God put me single. I still have not been married. I haven't really found anybody. And he put me in a church in the middle of the Bay Area, a place called Hayward. Some of you guys who are here on the radio know exactly what I'm talking about in the East Bay of Hayward. People thought because I was single, I must be gay.
Oh, no.
So I had people who were following me around, literally following me around thinking, hey, this guy's going to give in to me.
Oh, brother.
I had people going around saying, hey, if he's single, that means he's available for whatever we want him to do.
Not true.
And that was absolutely not true. But I had one person, I was being nice. I was trying to be a nice person. And I said, hey, you want to come in for a glass of iced tea? He started trying to make moves on me. And I said, out of my house. The Spirit of the Lord just came on me. And I rebuked it and kicked him out at that moment before he could move any further than touching me, trying to touch me. And got him out of the house. And I said, God, what is it you really have me here for? And as I began to work with people, I began to work with widows and people who were homeless and people who were having desperate times in life. And God opened up opportunities for a lot of people to come to Jesus.
That's awesome.
Through ministry. But that wasn't what really moved me.
Well, what really moved you, Pastor Lloyd?
One day, I realized that I needed to go to a conference. And it was a conference on spiritual healing for pastors. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. I've been giving myself so much. What in the world? Why should I really be here in this? I went to this place, and one of the guys who was there came over to me in the middle of this time. They said, well, we're going to pray, and what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands in front of you and like a cup. If there's anything in your life that you need to give to God that you've been dealing with or struggling with, just put it in your hands and just lift it up and give it to God. Get rid of that stuff. Get it out of there. And so in my head, I thought, yeah, there's plenty of stuff I need to get rid of. There's plenty of stuff going on in my mind, my heart, that I need to get rid of. And one of them was this thing called, and some of you guys might have heard of this, it's called pornography. Maybe you've heard of it. I don't know. But it was an issue in my life, and it was something that I hadn't dealt with. I was a single guy, and I was, instead of going out and jumping in bed with somebody, I was looking at pornography. Well, God was dealing with me at that spot, but I couldn't lift my hands up. I tried to put that sin into my hand and give it to God, but as I began to lift my hands up, my hands would come apart. I couldn't even lift them above my shoulders, above my heart. I could not lift my hands up and give it to him as much as I desired to do it, and I finally gave up and just kind of put my head down, and a guy came over to me and he said, what are you praying for? And I said, I need God to set me free from pornography. And he said, okay, I'll pray for you. Would it be okay if I pray for you? And I said, sure. So in my own way, I bowed my head and closed my eyes. And I didn't hear anything. And I didn't hear him praying for me. I looked up kind of out of the corner of my eye and was going, where'd he go? And he wasn't there. He'd left. And I'm going, oh, yeah, what a deal. This guy says he's going to pray for me for this issue that I'm trying to get rid of and I want God to take over and help me with, and I can't get rid of it, and I can't even give it over to God. I'm trying and trying and trying, and I feel like a failure in this place. But this guy that wants to come and pray for me has walked away. I didn't realize it, but what he had done is he had gone around, and he had started about four or five groups of people to pray over me. And all these people around this conference, whole room, other pastors and other leaders and other people from the conference, they were all in huddles around praying over me. Wow. And pretty soon he came back over. He saw that I was absolutely devastated. My head was down. My arms were down. I was just like completely broken. Baffled and yeah. Groveling, I guess, in a way you'd say, before God and saying, I have no use. I have no use. I don't know why in the world you ever called me to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. I can't get past this issue, and it's a big thing. I want to get this out of there, but I can't. He came over to me, and he said, I don't remember the words he said, but he said something to me, and he lifted his hand up toward me, and all of a sudden, this wave of spiritual power came down on me, and I fell on the floor on my knees, weeping over this sin that had taken over my life.
That's how God
and
works.
Suddenly, there was a repentant heart. Yeah. Suddenly, there was not just the confession of my sin, but there was a real desire for God to break me and to rend my heart. Like Isaiah says, rend your heart. Or Jeremiah says, rend your heart. And they're talking about that tearing of the heart, and it felt like that inside of me. I was rending my heart. There was a spiritual battle that was taking place over me at that very moment. And I was on my face and the tears were flooding. I was confessing my sins and calling on God's forgiveness and his healing, his spiritual healing to heal those wounds and those effects of all the things that had been taking over me in my life. And it had started way back when I was a little kid. And I realized at that point that I had gone and gotten some pornography as a kid and started looking at it, started playing with it, and started thinking about it. And I realized I needed to go back in my mind to that time and confess that and ask God to forgive me for allowing that stuff into my mind and my heart so that he would cut that loose, break it off of me, and rip that desire out of my, not the desire for sex, but the desire for God's holiness to come and fill me with his righteousness to break that stuff off of me. And as I sat there, tears flooded my whole face. I'm sure I looked like a wreck. Okay? I'm sure it looked like somebody had taken a baseball bat to me. And I felt that way. But all of a sudden, a guy came over to me and said, would you stand up? I got up slowly, stood up. He said, I want you to take your hands and I want you to lift them up. And remember before what was happening with my hands?
You couldn't lift them.
I couldn't lift them. My hands that were in a cup would come apart. I couldn't lift them above my chest. I couldn't lift them. Now all of a sudden, whoom, my hands were like air. God. They just flew up into the air and I went, whoa, what was that? How in the world did that happen? Yeah. What is going on? There's like a freedom all of a sudden. There was a release. And he said, I'm going to pray over you. And all of a sudden, all those groups of men that had been off praying in all those different places all of a sudden came flooding over and surrounding me and laying hands on me, and not physically, but putting their hands over toward me. And he put his hand on my chest and one on my back, and he began praying over me for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to just come on me. And whoom, all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord began to flood my soul from the bottom of my feet to the top of my fingertips that were flying up before the Lord. I began jumping and bouncing and praising the Lord, and I spoke in tongues, and I was like going, whoa, what is going on here? Wow, what a release. And the fullness just whipped through me. It just whipped through me. My whole body was just in absolute joy-filled bubbles just coming out and coming out and coming out. And the strange part is, we were at this convention center that had lower ceilings, and the ceilings all were not glass, they were all mirrored. So I looked up and I could see myself, and I said, oh, you're a sorry dude. But wow, the joy of the Lord was coming out.
Hallelujah.
And As that began to take over and the flood, I actually said, oh God, that's enough. I can't physically take anymore. My heart was pounding out of my chest and my body was going wild. I was jumping up and down and in the joy of the Lord. And all of a sudden I was like going, wow, this is different. God has done something wonderful.
God did what man couldn't do. God did what you couldn't do, right?
It was a transformation.
Yeah.
It was a changing of mind and heart. And, I now am married. I have 5 kids.
I've met the family. They're really wonderful people.
I have a wonderful family. Mm-hmm. Wonderful wife. We just absolutely love the Lord. And so that began a whole new attitude and atmosphere in ministry that completely changed who I was. I was no longer the guy who just kind of hung around and did stuff for people.
Mm-hmm.
Now I was moving in the power and the fullness of the Spirit.
Amen.
I couldn't help myself. When I got up in the morning, I was saying, God, what do you have for today?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for this day for you.
Come on.
Yes, even coming down here to the station today, I was saying, God, whatever you want, I'm ready for you. You just bring it on. Wherever you are, I want to be a part of it. I want to see what your kingdom is doing and be a part of letting your kingdom come and your will be done.
Amen.
Right here, mm-hmm. even as it is in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
And so I know that if people are listening today, whoever you are and where you're at and the places you're at, if you haven't found that God is absolutely desiring you, wanting you to have his fullness and his grace covering you and lavished on you, his love filling
That's right.
you and permeating your entire being,
That's right.
if you haven't found that, I tell you what, it'll be transformational. It will be absolutely
Hallelujah.
Something that you can't live without. It'll be something you don't ever want to live without because the joy of the Lord doesn't leave me.
Amen. Mm. That's true.
It's something that is different. It's
That's
something
strength.
That is new. It Amen. Is something that, and this, okay, this has been, let me see, I've been married 26 years, so 26. It's been just about 28 years since this has happened. And the joy of the Lord is still my strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It is still my power. It is still my, God's Spirit is still my source.
And you're not just saying this, you have actually experienced it. You actually have the evidence of it present with you. A lot of people say, well, I've got the joy of the Lord, but they look like they're sucking sour lemons. But you in the office or in the studio, you're not just saying it, you're actually expressing it. It's actually coming from your spirit. And that's mm-hmm. only something that God can do. So wouldn't you call that a moment of true salvation?
No, because I confessed my sins before. But yes, it was transformational. It was, I believe that I had accepted Christ before that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have ever stepped into ministry or pursued ministry if I had not asked God to forgive me of my sins before. And and there's this attitude, and I talked about this in our Bible study last night. There's a difference between confessing our sins and repenting of our sins.
True.
If you confess your sins, you can say, I've done wrong. You can recognize it. You see it. You will speak about it and say, I have sinned. God, forgive me. But when your heart changes and you repent, repentance is a turning from that sin.
Exactly.
It is not just an admission of your sin. There's a desire to unite with God in a different way in repentance.
Exactly.
You're turning from it. You're saying no to it. You're saying that's not going to be a part of who I am because I am in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the power of his Holy Spirit fills me on purpose for his goodness,
mm-hmm.
for his life,
mm-hmm.
for what he wants to do in his kingdom.
Amen.
I don't want to just be walking around, like you said, sucking lemons.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like lemons, but mm-hmm. my face doesn't look sour. My face isn't filled with that stuff. I repented. That means I'm turning away from,
That's
saying
right.
no
yeah,
to,
exactly.
walking against yeah. my human desires and saying no to those things because I want God's will.
Right.
I want his way.
Amen.
And I don't just hope that I have it. I live in it.
You got it.
I got it.
You got it. Got
I live
it.
In it. Yeah. It is not something that's out there somewhere. It's in me. And it's a part of why God's Spirit comes in and convicts us of sin,
mm-hmm.
so because he wants us to turn from it, not just say, I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of people, and I've heard this from Christians, say, well, you know, I believe once I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and so that takes care of all my issues, and I'm okay from now on.
Right.
Wait a minute. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now, what is the first word?
If.
It's a big you if. Walk in the light. That's where repentance comes in.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not where just confession comes in.
That's true.
If you walk in the light, that's repentance. The walking in the light is a transformation that happens. It's not just saying, yes, I've sinned, or yes, I am sinning, or, oh my goodness, I'm going to continue to sin the rest of my life, so I might as well just give into it. Don't let sin rule and reign in your life. Paul talked about that too, saying, I don't want sin to rule in my life. You want the Spirit of God to rule in your life.
Yeah.
You give him, now some people will call him Lord, but they don't really mean it because he's not their Lord. They're still their Lord. All they're doing is saying nice words at church. Being Lord means that he has transformed you and you have repented. You have changed your life from what it was into what he is making it. It is not a matter of, oh God, I know I'm going to sin today, so help me through this day.
Hopefully not.
No. You don't start the day that way.
No.
You start the day saying, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that life is Amen. Now living in me, Amen. And I will be that light of you.
And that's where
I am going to live in your light today. Mm-hmm. What happens when light shines? It reveals the darkness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It reveals all the corners, the nooks, and the crannies. It reveals everything in the room so that you can see it. Jesus said he is the light and he's going to live in you. He reveals it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible also says that when Judgment Day comes, everything will be revealed. Uh-oh. I know some people listening today are thinking, oh, crumb. I'm in trouble because he's going to see everything I'm doing.
Not if you've repented and you're under God's grace.
You know what? There is grace. Yes. There is forgiveness. If we walk in the light,
exactly.
As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ
Amen.
Cleanses us.
Amen.
But we need to walk in the light.
A couple of things that I wanted to hit
on
that you passed. In your,
and I go right past
you. You're so full of charisma. It's awesome. But a couple of things that you... Grace enables us to not want to do, if we understand it clearly and correctly, to not want to do what displeases God. That's his grace. That's his enabling power.
That's what his Spirit does, convicting and convincing us.
And also grace. Grace is a big part of that. Now, grace also is unmerited favor. Okay? But when I was asking you about salvation, salvation is more than just accepting Christ as your Lord and being saved. Salvation is sozo, which is deliverance, healing, freedom. So when I was asking you about the true experience of salvation, that was a true experience of salvation. You were already saved, but you were still not walking in the fullness of that salvation because there's more to it than just having your sins forgiven and on your way to heaven.
Well, look at it this way.
Go ahead.
Okay? As you walk through life, you encounter many different things that draw you away from God.
You can, yeah. True.
You do.
Okay.
Not you can, you do.
Okay.
You encounter things at many stages. Satan does not just leave you alone when you accept Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to continue
to bring things
back toward you that he knows you like or he knows that you might want to do, and he will tempt you in those things even as he tempted Christ.
Right.
I understand that.
Jesus Christ was tempted in every way. Even as we are.
That's right.
Even as we are.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When we walk through our days, we will encounter temptations because Satan is not going to leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because
true.
He doesn't want us to go to heaven.
That's
he
true.
Wants to defeat us and he wants to take us down and keep us away from God's grace and mercy.
That's true.
He is living and active. Now, here's something that might help you with that, dealing with grace in a certain way. And I know it's coming from my background and you can... Yeah. Talk to me about this if you want to. Basically, Satan would have no reason to tempt you if you had no way of falling. Does that make sense?
Sure.
If you had no way of falling from God's grace and love and walking away from it, he would never need to tempt you.
That's right.
He would stay away from you. There would never be another temptation thrown your way because it wouldn't matter. Yeah. What a waste of his time to come after somebody that had just accepted God's forgiveness. But that's where that word, if you walk in the light, comes in. If we choose to walk away, it's like the story of the 10 virgins. All 10 of them had oil in their lamp.
That's true.
5 of them let theirs go down. The ones that had full lamps of the oil, which I call the Holy Spirit, had full lamps when along came the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready to go into the wedding feast. The ones that had a low amount ran off to try and find some oil somewhere, and he went right by. When they came back in knocking on the door saying, "Hey, let us in, our lamps are full," he said, "I never knew you." Wow. If there was no reason and no way for us to ever get away from God's grace, and I know I'm going to have some brothers and sisters that are going to absolutely disagree with me on some of this here, but I think Satan would be absolutely spinning its wheels and be of no use to tempt us if there was no way for us to fall and to lose out on God's grace. I think God wants us to walk with him. And I think he's calling us every day to choose him, not just once in life, but every day, to walk with him, to love him, to enjoy him, to experience his fullness and his grace every day, to be able to see his power flowing through us, I think is an active, living expression of faith.
Yeah,
but it's also something that we have to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
If we don't have any reason to submit to God.
Submitting to God is important.
Yes, it is.
But also not walking into works and not walking under the law and trying to fulfill the law. And that's why we have to be able to separate and clearly express here, because this show also deals with grace. And a lot of people, I've had people like Ken Winton on. I've had people like other people that talk about grace.
Yep.
And so I believe that if we're in Christ, we're sealed until the day of redemption. I do believe that we can taint our testimony and keep it in impure, do something that can cause other people maybe to not want what we have and may cause us to not be where God wants us to be, strong and in him like he wants us to be in him. And so there are a little bit of differences of what we see, but at the same time, I believe that a lot of us haven't experienced the true of everything Christ has for us. We've gotten saved, but that's all. We've settled for very little of what God has for us. And I also believe that grace is not a license to sin, but I believe that when we do something wrong, it's going to convince, hey, you messed up, to the point where we're going to cry out to God. And if we're not crying out to God, then we need to check ourselves. And so, matter of fact, a friend of mine said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. So personally, we do need to check ourselves daily. But I'll be honest with you. If it's based on my works and based on my doings, I've already lost. So it's got to be based on what Christ did. Am I not accurate?
Yes and no.
Okay,
here's why.
Okay.
Our works that Jesus talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The law was to try and earn a way to God's salvation.
Okay.
Not post-salvation, because in the Jewish culture, all their works were to try and gain a spot in God's kingdom, in his favor. So it wasn't a matter of saved from, it was a matter of being good enough to.
Okay.
And so everything they did that was a good work, they felt was counted towards their righteousness. When Jesus came along, he said, it is not by works of righteousness that I have done. It is according to mercy. Well, Paul said that. It is not according to our works that we are saved. It is according to his mercy that we are saved. Saved.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there's a difference between the works which lead to salvation or not, or the works which are from our transformed place in Christ Jesus. We work in Christ Jesus, not because we have to, but because we want to. There's there's that attitude, and you understand that.
You're with me on that. I understand.
But a part of what the Jews were doing was they were trying to work their way into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it is by his grace and his love that we have salvation at all.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way.
That's
there
true.
Is no other chance.
That's
your good works do not. Some people have this false theology that says my good works outweigh my bad works.
No.
I'm a good person.
It's not
or,
about that.
You know, I had somebody in my family who was a good person, so yeah. I think that they're going to go to heaven and I'll see them someday.
It's not about that.
No.
Goodness isn't going
to
get you.
And right. I hate to say that because I know that it's going to crush some people's spirit, realizing that it is not because somebody was nice or somebody was good that they're going to get into heaven. It is only by the grace and forgiveness of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross that we can be saved.
Exactly.
If we do not put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone,
that's right.
And we try and earn our way, we cannot get there.
Yeah.
Now, that's different, in my mind, from post-salvation. We've been saved. We've been forgiven of our sins. Then Jesus said, I want you to walk in this light.
Mm-hmm.
Don't choose some other way. Don't fall away. It's almost like the Jews when they were going up and following after Ahab, where Jezebel and this king that was against God began calling the prophets and the priests to come and follow Jezebel's way.
Mm-hmm.
And following their lusts and their desires, basically, lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Start following this way, and we'll give you freedom. Well, wait a minute. Baal was who they were following. They were following Asherah, which was a sexual god. And Baal was about sexual things. He wanted people to sacrifice babies to him. And so people were giving up God and his righteousness and holiness to follow and change their laws to follow a different God. Well, then Elijah came along and said, hey, check this out. I want all you prophets that have gone from God's people over to follow this other God, Baal. I want you to come with me up to the mount and we're going to have a little show off here to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, if you guys, when they all got there and they all came, he said, if you guys will take and call upon your God to bring down fire on this altar here and burn up a sacrifice, then I'll follow your God.
He said,
but if it doesn't happen, I will set this altar up and we'll go the other way.
True.
Well, they put their sacrifice on the altar, called upon their gods all day long. They slashed themselves. They beat themselves. They called out to their gods. And
nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, Elijah said, he began to taunt them. Said, oh, maybe they're asleep. You need to call out a little louder. Come on, you guys. What's going on here? How come you can't get your gods to wake up and do this for you if he's your God? And so they continued on and continued on until the evening sacrifice. And he goes, okay, tell you what. I'm going to put these stones together. I'm going to put them all together. And he made an altar to the Lord. And he said, I want you guys to put the sacrifice bull on top of this. Now he said, I want you to pour a whole lot of water on, and he gave them the exact amounts, pour it on. So they did. He says, now I want you to do it again. They did it again. And it began to run not just over the altar, but down into the trough that filled around it. He said, I want you to do it a third time. Fill it, just completely lavish, slather it on, douse it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he said, okay, now, he said, God, I want you to show yourself. I'm putting up my terms. Mm-hmm. God, I want you to show yourself. And he said, if you are Lord of all, and I know you are, then send down fire and take this.
Mm-hmm.
And God did. He didn't just burn up some of it. He burnt all of it up.
All
as a matter of fact,
fire.
Even the stones were burnt up.
Hmm.
Even the stones.
Yeah.
Not just the sacrifice on the altar.
That's a hot
but God
heat.
Sent down fire from and it licked
it
up all the water and all the stones, and it said even the ground around it.
Hmm.
Talk about power. Now, this is my point, though. These people had been following God.
Mm-hmm.
All these prophets had been following God. They were his prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And they switched sides because of the things promised them and the things given to them and offered to them from the world. And they began following this other God. And he said, you've fallen away from me.
Yeah, you don't want to follow another God.
And is that not a possibility for us today to follow another God? To change our minds, to do other things?
If we're not totally in him, I believe it is possible.
Yeah,
but we have to be totally in him. We have to be in his righteousness.
And that's
because
if we walk in the light, right?
Yeah. But I feel like I miss it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to bed at night afraid of dying because I was afraid I'd go to hell. Because in this religion that I grew up in, if you sinned, And you had to consistently ask God for I believe I'm forgiven of everything, past, present, future, but I don't want to go and do whatever I want to go and do, and please God my way, and expect him to. So I understand where you're coming from with that, and that makes a lot of sense.
Repentance, turning from sin.
Yeah, turning from sin. But once again, the only one that can really help us with that repentance is Jesus Christ. If we try to repent on our own, you know what I mean? Repentance is important. We have to do it, but it takes him with us doing it. It can't just be us.
Yeah, I don't just do it on my own.
No.
The Spirit of God fills me.
Exactly.
And he is the one who prompts me. As a matter of fact, sometimes he has to kick my butt. And I'm being really straight with you here, okay? There are times when I am tempted to do things and I start going that direction. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, And I have to stop where I'm at because the Spirit of God is in me saying, don't go there. That is against me. That's going to drive a wedge in here. You don't want that wedge in here. And I said, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And I will have to stop and say, God, I repent of that. Not just confess it. I want to give that over to you and say, thank you for showing that to me. I don't want to keep going there because I want you. I tell you what, the glory of God's presence is so powerful and so real and so dynamic that once you start walking in the Spirit, you will realize that there is nothing else you want more than who he is.
I believe repentance is deeper than confession.
It is way deeper.
Yes.
Yeah. And it is something that's transformational. And I keep using that word on purpose.
Well, that's what
because
I want in
some
my life.
People aren't changed.
No.
Some people continue to do the sin that they've always done and just allow it to be a part of their lives rather than kicking it out and saying, you have no part in me. I have died to sin. That's Paul's instruction to us, saying you need to die to sin. It needs to be killed. It needs to be washed out. It needs to be eradicated from your life. You don't want that sin in your life. You've got to have such a desire for God that you don't want to walk in that anymore. That's got to be taken out and cut out and removed from your life. It's got to be literally kicked out of your life. You've got to chase it down with a stick and a stone or whatever you want to do. You need to actually take the Spirit of God with you and say, you're out of here. No more of that stuff. I do not want that ever again in my life because, God, I want you. I want to walk in your presence, in your power. I want to enjoy your presence forever. And eternity is before me right now.
Oh.
We have eternity in front of us because God has given every one of us a soul, and that soul is eternal. Our bodies are failing. They're falling apart. They're going down. Our brains are falling apart. Yep. They're going apart. They're falling apart. They're getting weaker and weaker as we get older and older.
I'm not claiming
that. But you know what? Yeah, you don't have to claim that.
He renews my youth like the Eagles.
Yeah, there you go. I'm soaring on wings like Eagles.
Let me address something.
You bet.
Because you were bringing up something. And I asked a guy a month ago, you better be careful when you ask somebody to do something. You better be careful because you never know what you're asking for.
Sometimes.
I asked a guy the other day, about a month ago, to pray for me. And this was a guy from the rescue mission. He says, I will. So I ran into him the other day. He says, been praying for you every day. I said, get out of town. He says, no, I've been praying for you every day. You asked me to pray for you. I'm praying for you every day. Have you gotten rid of your cell phone? No. He said, you need to get rid of your cell phone. No. You need to get rid of your cell phone. No. He says, if you want God to help you and you know what you struggle with, get rid of that cell phone. You're talking about an opportunity that you have here of going and being a part of something that God could be using you in. But if you don't get rid of that cell phone, you could have some serious problems. Yesterday, my cell phone cracked. The glass on it cracked. Before I paid the bill. And it was like, God, are you telling me to get rid of this cell phone? So I went and I paid the bill. But I'm thinking that God doesn't want me having a cell phone because he knows that I would be better off without it because there's something on it that the enemy would love to get used to get my attention. So I was using excuses like, well, I got Christian music on it. I can listen to Jimmy Swaggart. I can read the Bible on it. There's no reception up there where I'm going. And it looks like I'll be going up there. So I'm getting rid of the cell phone. If I just have to leave it somewhere for 3 months and pay the bill but not use it, unless it's important, necessary, because for the radio show, but I am letting it go.
You know, there's different kinds of phones you can have, too.
He told me, he said, get a flip phone.
Yeah. There are different things that you can do to maintain integrity for your protection in your spiritual life, to be able to say no to things that would allow you to be able to be tempted. You can say no to them by getting something else that'll still take care of what you need.
Yeah.
Not all the desires.
Yeah, exactly.
Not all the wants. Not all the, oh, I think that that's something I want to do. Even if it's a game, and I'm just going to use this as an example for fun. What if it was the game...
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. Yeah, just to give a game name.
Yeah.
If it was a Game of Thrones and all you did is play that Game of Thrones and it took your time and your energy and your work, even though it was fun and you got a lot out of it as far as what you enjoyed to do with turning off your mind to other things so that you could actually just do something that was downtime, it may be a draw to other things.
It may be.
And it may not just be that game. It may be something else on the phone that is drawing you away from God and his presence and power and his glory. And you might want to say, I like that Game of Thrones on my phone, but there's something else there. Yeah. Or I know that I have Christian music on there. Or I know I have a special sermon preacher on there that I like to listen to.
But there's something else.
And you know what? That's what Satan does. He gets a foothold.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little foothold, he will find a way to get a foothold in there so that you will be drawn to whatever that evil is. Sure. And you will begin to follow after it until pretty soon it's not the Game of Thrones or the sermon or the music you're listening to. It's something else that is taking you away from what God's best is for you.
And then our focus is off of God and it becomes a lot easier for us to sin, because the more we keep our focus on Christ and his beauty, the less we sin, the less we're prone to falling into sin. That's why we got to keep our focus more on Christ. And so I agree with that. But we've got a few minutes left. Let's go into this prayer thing that you're doing up there in Paradise. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. One of the things that's a burden on my heart is for people to be saved. Okay? I'm just being really straight with you. I want everybody to go to heaven.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
I believe that's what God wants too, but that's a desire of my heart. If I can lead someone to Christ today, I'm going to walk them right into God's presence today. I'm going to encourage them to come and find him. But I also realize that that doesn't happen on accident.
No.
And as I was praying, now this has been about 5.5 years ago, as I was praying one day in my office, just sitting in my office, minding my own business.
Just remind you, got less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. Just minding my own business, quote unquote. Guess what? God said, I have something more for you. I need you to pray for the leaders on this ridge. And I'm like going, okay, God, I'll pray for them. Oh, God, bless the leaders on this ridge.
Good start.
Yeah, it was a good start. That he said, I need you to go. And that Sunday, I was teaching a membership course in our church for some people. And in the course of the membership material, there's a video sequence that I use. And there's a lady on that video sequence for our membership material that is going around and is, when she goes to the coffee shop, simple thing, she would say, can I pray for you today? And that clicked. God said, see, I want you to do this. And I went, you want me to go to the coffee shop and pray? No, 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 no. I want you to pray for the leaders on the ridge to be transformed. If you want to see my kingdom come, if you want to see people saved, then you need to go to where they are and begin to make connections with them and pray for them personally. If you don't know them, then all you'll be able to pray is, oh God, bless the leaders on this ridge. And you won't know what you're saying. So I said, okay, God, I'll do that. Just on a whim, I said, okay, God, I'll just do whatever you want. So I began, and I was going, okay, now where are the leaders on the ridge? Well, we got town hall. Okay, I can go pray for the leaders in town hall. What else? Oh, there's a fire, and you know, there's a fire department, there's a police department. Okay, I'll start going there. What else? Well, there's school district. Okay, I'll go to the school district and pray for them. What else? Well, there's this big, Feather River is a big organization with lots of people in the hospitals and the outpatient and all the different things. You can go and pray for them. And I said, okay, Lord, this is getting pretty busy. I said, what else? He goes, well, there's all the leaders of the churches. There's all the pastors and the leaders in the churches. And I said, whew, okay, Lord, how in the world am I going to pray for all these people? You have to go to them. You have to go to them. And I'm thinking, I'm a pastor, God. Don't you know that my time is full? My schedule's full. He goes, do you ever do lunch? Oh, crumb. I'm going to have to give up my lunches to pray for people, huh?
Yeah, just pack a lunch and go.
Yeah. So you know what? That's what started happening. I went to the town hall, and I stood in the middle of town hall and walked the halls of our town, and I began praying for the leaders. I began driving over on that, and I did that on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I would drive over to the police and the fire department, and I would stand outside the fire department. Then I would stand outside the police department, and I would pray over the people. And then I would drive over on Thursdays, and I would pray with some pastors normally, and then I would go over and I would pray at the school district, because it was the district offices were right there. And then I would drive over the next day on Friday. I would drive over to the hospice and to the hospital and to the care facilities and drive around to all the different facilities mm-hmm. and pray over them and their leaders, mm-hmm. the workers, the leaders yeah. of the places.
Yeah.
And on Sunday mornings, I would get up and I would drive around to all the churches. And in the morning, before I went to my church, I would pray over all the pastors mm-hmm. and their families. I realized that they needed prayer. Mm-hmm. They're leaders. As I began to do this on my lunch hours, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday.
Oh, you didn't do
Saturday.
I didn't
go on Monday and I didn't go on Saturday. I had my day off, and then on Monday I had my day off, and on Saturday it was a sermon day. I was working on my sermon all day. So I left those two out, but I started going around to all these different places. And as I would stand outside or sit in my car, mm-hmm. I realized I had no idea who they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I began going into those places. And I would begin talking with people and introducing myself to the people in the town, the managers and all the different people in the town. Mm-hmm. I would go around to the police department and I'd go in and talk with the chiefs and the lieutenants and the sergeants and the officers and started doing ride-alongs. And I would go to the fire department and find the chief, and I would find all the different people who were working in the fire department. The same thing, I began going into the school district. And talking with the administration and the staff, and I realized as it began to blossom that there were a whole lot of people. I began to pray for all the in the school district. I began to pray for all of the principals, all the assistant principals, all the teachers and the staff and the students, and even the people, the maintenance people who mowed the lawns, and it began to expand my territory and my thoughts about mm-hmm. what was happening on the ridge. And I went to the hospital mm-hmm. thinking that was all, and pretty soon I was praying for all of the different care facilities. There were the people who were the administration and the staff. There were the workers. There was the nurses. There was the EMTs. There was all these people I began to pray for, and it began to expand, and I began to see God had a huge mission field for me to be praying for.
We're going on the 2-minute mark.
Prayer Jabez, kingdom. The Lord was enlarging your territory.
He enlarged my territory Woo! Big time.
Amen.
So now when I walk into places, guess what's happened? I don't know if I should say this on the air or not.
You can say whatever you want on there.
God has been transforming. We now have a mayor that's a Christian.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We now have other leaders in our town hall that are Christians.
Amen.
We now have people in leadership in the police department and fire department that are Christians. We now have people in the school district who are Christians. We now have people in the hospitals that are not just fulfilling jobs. They're beginning to live lives for Christ.
Amen. This is awesome.
And as I come and talk to people and pray with them, now they're sharing with me all these prayer requests because they know that I'm going to be faithful in praying for them.
This is
and
awesome.
God takes and moves. And he is moving. Even as yesterday, he was moving. I can hardly wait to see what he's going to do the rest of today.
Man, can you imagine what would happen if we started praying for our government like that?
Could you imagine what would happen if it wasn't just me?
If my people
that
are called
exactly
by my name.
Second Chronicles 7:14.
Yes.
Seek my face.
Would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Uh-oh, here comes what I was talking about earlier.
Turn from their wicked ways.
Yep.
Turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
Then I will hear mm-hmm. from heaven. Yeah. And I'm not just going to come down and heal a person. I will heal their land.
Amen.
Well, let's pray that right now because we got less than a minute. So let's pray that and let's pray out now.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we submit ourselves to you. Help us, Lord, to go from just confessing to repenting. Transform us from the inside out. Cause us to be ready for your kingdom and calling on your kingdom to come. Transform us, I pray, Father, into your image. I pray, God, everything we touch and everything we see will be with your eyes and with your hands. I pray that we will become your ambassadors in everything we do. I pray, God, that your healing will be complete and whole, that that sozo, truly, that Hebrew word sozo, will be a part of who we are and cleanse and heal and restore and renew. I pray, God, for your blessing on every ear that hears. I pray, God, that you will be the transformer of hearts from the inside out, even as you've transformed me and are still transforming me. I pray you will transform us, call us into yourself, love on us, and direct us, we pray. And I thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, I ask.
Well, Pastor Lloyd, it's been great having you on the program today. We are running out of time, so we're going to have to say thanks for listening, and until again next week, we'll see you next week. Pastor Lloyd, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurances accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.